verses of this psalm tonight. And I hope after we go through these verses that we will have a better appreciation for this psalm. But not just a better appreciation for this psalm, a better appreciation for the God of this psalm. How much do you trust God? How deeply do you trust God? The New King James begins this psalm by saying, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust." How much do you trust God? What do you know will come about as a result of the level of trust that you have placed in God? As you begin to read through this psalm, and we don't know who wrote it, it has been guessed that perhaps it was David, and perhaps it was David writing this when he was an old man, as you'll see some of these verses say later in the psalm. Perhaps it was written when he was an older man. Perhaps it was written when he was fleeing from Absalom, and he's writing about this difficult time in his life when he's fleeing from his own son, fleeing for his own life. But whoever wrote this psalm, and if it was David, expressed a tremendous amount of trust that he had in his God. But I want you to see tonight that this is a psalm for everyone, no matter what part of your life you're in. Look down in Psalm 71 in verse 6, where it talks about the fact that God had been with him, had been upholding him from his birth. This is a psalm that can have meaning even to little Olivia, although she has no clue at all that it has any meaning to her. But it's not just for babies. Look up one verse back in verse 5, where it says, David says, "You are my trust from my youth." And then go to verse 17, where he repeats that thought again and says, "You have taught me from my youth." It's a psalm that can have meaning to those who are young. But not just those who are young. Verse 9, he says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age." Down in verse 18 again, he says, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed." This is a psalm that has meaning to those who are from birth to youth to old age and everyone in between. As David sits down to write this psalm, there's a part of his heart that's very heavy. Look in verse 4. Where he recognizes that there are those enemies that are camped about him. He says in verse 4, "Deliver me, my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man." Have you ever been at any point in your life where you were begging God to deliver you out of the hands that would seek to do you wrong? To deliver you out of the hands of the wrongdoer, out of the hands of that ruthless, cruel man. Have you ever been in that point in your life? Look at what he says in verse 10. You start in verse 10 and he looks at those who are around him. And he says, "For my enemies speak against me." Has anyone ever spoken against you? "Those who lie in wait for my life, they take counsel together. They're conspiring together. They're getting together and they're trying to figure out how they can make my life more difficult." You ever had those in your life who would lie in wait, tried to trip you up? Jesus had those kind of people who were lying in wait, trying to trip him up, conspiring together how they might get him. There's people in our lives that are doing that. Verse 11, "They're saying to themselves, God has forsaken David. He's forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none other to deliver him." Look in verse 13, where David cries out to God and says, "Let these my enemies be confounded. Let them be ashamed. Let them be consumed. These people who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor, these people who seek my hurt." David was at a point in his life where he had no one else to turn to but God. I want you to think about that statement. David was at a point in his life where he had no one else to turn to but God. I want you to think about that statement. David was at a point in his life where he had no one else to turn to but God. Question. At what point in your life have you ever been that you had anyone else that you could turn to but God? Here was a point in David's life where it was not just one time in his life where he was going to turn to God, but David says, I put my trust in you, and you're going to see in this psalm that David does not just say to God, I put my trust in you right now, but David says to God, I put my trust in you continually. There's not a point in my life or your life where we cannot turn to God. And there's not a point in my life or your life where we have anyone else that we can turn to who's better than God. You might have your husband or your wife to turn to. You might have your best friend that you can turn to. You might have an elder in the church you can turn to. You might have a brother or sister in Christ who you can turn to. But the day's going to come where that person's no longer there for you to turn to them. Who are you going to turn to then? David looked at his life and he says, God, I put my trust in you continually. He had come to a day in his life where he had no one else he could turn to, but he had no one else he could turn to the day before that, and he had no one else he could turn to the day after that more than he could turn to God himself. David says, my God, I put my trust in you. I want us to look at this psalm, and I want you to see what this God in whom you put your trust, what this God does for you and does for me. I did not number these on the screen, but I think there's about 15 or 16 of them. You'll know when we get to the end of the slide. Look at these verses. Look at what David says about the fact that he's turning to God with all of his heart. He's trusting in God continually. What can this God do for you? Chad, what can God do for you? Rachel, Grant? What can God do for you if you'll put your trust in Him? I don't know half the names of these kids sitting here, so I'm not even going to try to name them. What can God do for you? If you will put your trust in God, what will He do? Look in verse 2. Psalm 71 and verse 2. David says, deliver me. What will God do for you? Deliver me in your righteousness. If you will put your trust in God, God will deliver you. And there's terms here that are very similar, so I'm going to put all of them up here, these three. He says, do not cause me and cause me to escape. God delivers us. God rescues us. The end of the verse, in verse 2, he says, save me. The same thing he says in verse 3, where he says, you have given the commandment to save me. God, if you will put your trust in Him, will deliver you. He will rescue you. He will save you. The Bible says that Jesus came into this world to seek and to save the lost. If you will trust in God, He will save you from your sins. If you will trust in God, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that this God who you put your trust in, He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Have you ever been tempted before? Has Satan ever had you right there where he wanted you? Did you know that God knows, if you put your trust in Him, do you know that God knows how to deliver you out of Satan's hands? He knows how to get you. He knows how to save you. He knows how to deliver you out of his hands. He knows how to rescue you out of his hands. The Bible tells us there's no temptation overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God, the one in whom you put your trust, He's faithful. And He will not allow any temptation to overtake you that you cannot bear. But this God in whom you put your trust, He will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's the God whom we serve. He does not allow Satan to grab a hold of us and take control of us. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 says, when you became a Christian, He delivered you, not just delivered you out of darkness, That's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, 11 and 12 teach, that He delivered us out of darkness into His marvelous light, and the Bible teaches that. But Colossians 1 and verse 13 says that He delivered us out of the power of darkness. When you give your life to the Lord, when you trust Him with all of your heart, He saves you from your sins. He delivers you out of the power of darkness. Satan no longer has power over you, and He will continue to provide that way of escape in order that you might be rescued from those temptations. That's the God whom you serve if you'll put your trust in Him. Look at what else He says in verse 2. I skipped this on the screen to keep them in order. But He says in verse 2, deliver me in your righteousness. Cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me. Those who put their trust in God, God hears me. He listens to me. His ears are open unto my prayers. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, we know that He hears us. It's not just a wish that we have. It's not just a hope. Well, I'll just pray this prayer and I wish He'll hear me. We know that He hears us, and we don't just know He hears us. Verse 15 says, we know that we have the petitions that we ask of Him. You put your trust in God. We know that He hears us. Look down in verse 3. In verse 3, He says to God, be my strong refuge. Be that place where I can run for safety. Be that place where I can run for protection. If you put your trust in God, then God will protect you. That peace that God supplies for us, that peace that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your lives. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 says that when you trust in God, that He will guard you from the evil one. You put your trust in God, He protects you. Look down at the end of verse 3 where He says, you've given the commandment to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Think about that. This is not uncommon for the Psalms. This is an expression, a lot of these expressions are expressions you will see throughout David's Psalms where he says unto God, you are my rock. You are my fortress. You are the place where I can run. You are the place where I can hide. You are my strength. We cannot go through this life on our own. We're not going to make it through this life on our own. Our true strength comes from God. You know Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through my own self and my own strength, and I don't need God. Is that what that verse says? If that's not what it says, why do we live like that? Why do we live and say, well, I can do all things by myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where my strength comes from. That's where my foundation comes from. That's where my rock and my fortress is. My strength is found in God when I put my trust in Him. Drop down to verse 5, where David says unto God, God, You are my hope. If you put your trust in God, you have the assurance from a God who cannot lie that you have hope. And that hope that we have, Hebrews chapter 6 says, is like an anchor. It's like an anchor that's sure and steadfast. And where is it? Oh, it's over there in heaven where our forerunner has gone. And there it is in heaven, and I know it's there because God, who cannot lie, told me that it's there. When I put my trust in God, He assures you and He assures me that heaven is there and it's guaranteed and it will not pass away. That's the God who I serve. You continue down into verse 6 where it says to God, by You I have been upheld from my birth. You put your trust in God and He upholds you. He sustains you. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, the Bible says that Jesus, by His Word, He sustains all things. And in that context, it's talking about the physical things, it's talking about the creation, but He sustains you too. He gives you strength too. He provides for you too, because the Lord knows what you need even before you do. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, He knows what you need even before you ask Him. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, after talking about what a faithful father would give unto his child, Jesus says, don't you know that your Father in heaven knows what you need, and don't you know that He will provide it for you? My God and your God, if we'll put our trust in Him, He upholds us. He sustains us. He gives us those things that are necessary for our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says that God is able. That's it. That's enough there. That's enough already that the Bible says God is able. What is He able to do? God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. My God and your God, if we'll put our trust in Him, He sustains us. He holds us up. He gives us those things that we need. Look down in verse 9. Throughout this psalm, David says things like this, where he says in verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. Go down to verse 12. O God, do not be far from me. Go down to verse 18. Now when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me. God, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me. Do not cast me off. If you'll put your trust in God, He's a God that fellowships you and me. I know that's not a good verb, but it fits. He's a God that fellowships you and me. He wants to be with us. That's just hard to fathom. That's just hard to grasp, that the Creator of this universe, who created everything and could have created anything, wants to be in fellowship with you and me. Wants to be near us. He doesn't want to cast us off. Have you ever been around some little kids that you just wanted to kind of cast off, to just kind of, you know, leave me alone, would you? Well, don't shake. Maybe it was a pet. Maybe we'll get kids out of the. Maybe it was a pet. You go to visit somebody in their home, and this pet won't stop licking you. There's this dog who won't leave, and you're just like, please, just get away from me. Don't you imagine that God ever has those feelings toward us? Little pesky little brats down here on the earth. Can't you imagine that God's, oh, just get out of the way, and He's not. Draw near unto God. He'll draw near unto you. Not because He has to, but because He wants to. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God wants to have fellowship with you and me if we'll put our trust in Him. Look in verse 12. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. My God and your God, if we will put our trust in Him, He helps me. Do you ever need help? You ever need somebody to help you? Bible says that we have a God that we can cast not some of our cares, not a lot of our cares, not most of our cares. Bible says cast all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He wants to help. Hebrews 13 and verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is my helper. And I like what this verse says, where the Bible says, God, make haste to help me. Have you ever prayed that? I know sometimes we have prayed, God, this is what I need. God, this is what I want. But nevertheless, let your will be done. But sometimes we pray, God, I need this and I need it right now. God, make haste to help me. There's a man several years ago who wrote a book that was based upon the story of the prodigal son in Luke 18 or Luke 15. About the prodigal son who had left his father and was coming back to his father after he had sold, had lost everything in riotous living. Coming back to his father, wanting to just be a servant in his household. His father saw him coming, and the Bible says that his father ran out to him, and this, this man wrote a book, and the title of the book was Will God Run? About that story. Look at what David says. God, I need you to run to me. God, I need your help, and I need you to make haste to help me. Will God run to help us? It's not just that He's there to help us whenever He's ready to do it. He's there to help us when we plead. That's my God and your God, in whom we put our trust. Look in verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth. We put our trust in God and He teaches us. He teaches us through His Word. The Bible says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. When I pick up this book and I read this book, I'm not reading what Paul is teaching me, what Peter's teaching me, what David's teaching me. I'm reading what God is teaching me. I'm reading what God is saying unto me. These words, these things that were written aforetime, they're written for my learning. I pick up Psalm 71, and it's there for my learning. In Romans, it's Romans chapter 4, about verse 20 and 21, where it talks about Abraham. And it says that these things about Abraham, they were not written for Abraham. Abraham's already dead. What good would it do to write these truths about Abraham and his faith? They're not written for Abraham. He's dead. They're written for us. They are given that they might be imputed, these lessons, to us. God is teaching us through His Word. We will put our trust in Him if we'll pick up His Word. We can allow the God of heaven to teach us how to live and how to serve Him acceptably. Look in verse 19. Also, your righteousness, O God, is very high. Some translations say, your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things. What an understatement. You have done great things. If we put our trust in God, this is a God who simply amazes us. You think about all that God has done for you. And I tried to only put verses from the New Testament over on the right side of the screen to indicate that these things that we read in Psalm 71 have application to us as New Testament Christians. But when I read this about God amazing us, I cannot help but think of the psalm that says, you know, here's God, and what God, with all that you have done, what is man that you are mindful of him? You look at the creation of God, and does it not amaze you? You look at the vastness of the universe in which we live, and the galaxy and the stars and all that there is, and it goes on and on and on and on. Are you not amazed by the fact that we can send a space shuttle up into space and we can bring it back down, and yet how long did it take us to figure out all that was involved in doing that? God will amaze you every time you turn around, but not just with His creation. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, thanks be to God for His indescribable or unspeakable gift. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Have you figured that one out? Does that not amaze you? That the God of heaven loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. Indescribable. Unspeakable. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says that the joy that you and I have as Christians is just inexpressible. The joy that we should have in serving God is just something we cannot even put into words, because we are amazed by all that God does for us. Look in verse 20. You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. When we fall down, there's God to pick us up. When we're struggling and all of these troubles and these great and severe troubles are coming upon us, verse 20, there's God ready to revive me, ready to restore me. Ready, as the New Testament says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, ready to renew me again. Every time we fail, God's ready to renew us. Every time we stumble, God's ready to renew us. Every time we fall, God's ready to renew us. We come to His Word. And here we are as fallible creatures coming to His Word, and here we behold ourselves, and this Word, if we will be honest students of it, will transform us, will change us. From the glory that belonged unto the Lord, that glory can become our own. Not that we become transformed on the outside, but that we become renewed on the inside. If you'll put your trust in God, He will revive you. He will revive me. And look at what verse 21 says. You shall increase my greatness. There is no end to what God will do for you. There is no end to what God will give you. There is no end to the increases that God will provide in your life. You think about Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, where the Bible says, you give unto God, and what's going to happen? He's going to give unto you. But what's He going to do? He's going to give back to you, and then He's going to press it down. He's going to shake it together. He's going to pack it in, and then when He's done, it's going to be overflowing out the edges. The increase that God is going to give to you is immeasurable if you'll put your trust in Him. The rest of that verse says, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. You put your trust in God, and the God of all comfort will comfort you. How does that work? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Start in verse 3 and especially focus on verses 4 and 5, where it says, the God of all comfort, He will comfort us in order that we might turn around and comfort those who need the comfort of God. In order that they might turn around and comfort those who need the comfort of God, so that God has comforted those who needed the comfort so that they could go out and comfort others. That's basically a paraphrase of what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says. If you'll put your trust in God, there should be no time in your life where you do not feel the comfort of God, where you do not feel the peace of God that truly surpasses all understanding. Look at verse 23, where He says at the end of this verse that you have redeemed me. God bought us back. Jesus gave Himself for us, Titus 2 and verse 14. He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us. We did not deserve it, but He did it because He loved us. Bought us back out of sin. Bought us back from the power of darkness. Bought us back from the power of Satan. Redeemed us in order that we might serve Him. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says that God did not buy you with silver and gold. He didn't use something like that. It's not that He didn't have it. All the silver and all the gold and all the world belongs unto God. He could have paid any price. But 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 says that we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. How much do you trust God? If you will put your trust in God, look at all, and this is just some, this isn't even all that Psalm 71 says. Look at what God will, not what He might do for you. Put your trust in God, and this is what God will do for you. As we finish this lesson, I want you to ask yourself, how does God know that I have put my trust in Him? How can God see that I, as one of His children, have truly put all of my trust in Him? Come back to Psalm 71. Look at what David says. Psalm 71, I think, start in verse 2, verse 3. Be my strong refuge. Will you say this to God? God, I trust You so much that I will resort to You continually. Do you trust God that much? That no matter what happens, you're going to run to Him. Do you trust God that much that no matter what, continually, you're going to go to God? You might have a friend that you go to confide in. You might have a loved one that you go to seek advice from. But at the end of the day, continually, you're going to resort to God, to His Word, and whatever He tells you to do. Would that show God how much trust you have put in Him? That you will resort, notice this word, and you're going to see it several times here, that you will resort to Him, but not just once, you will resort unto Him continually. Look in verse 14. I will not just resort unto you continually, God. I will hope continually. There's never a time in our lives where the hope that we have of heaven should ever be in doubt, should ever be in question. God has promised us, He's guaranteed us, He's assured us, to use the word that we used on the previous slide, and I can hope and remain hopeful and be hopeful continually in the promises He's given to me. Look down in verse 16. What else? What else can I do to show God how much I trust in Him? I will go. Some translations say I will come. So here I just put, I will go and come. Everything I do, I'm going to do it in the strength of the Lord. I'm not going to try to live life on my own. I'm not going to try to make all of my decisions on my own. I'm not going to make those most critical decisions in my life without seeking wisdom from above. You want wisdom from God? Ask. That's all He says to do in James chapter 1. Everything I do, I will go and I will come and I will do it all in the strength of the Lord. And there are so many other things in this psalm, but I lump the rest of these into two categories. Go back, look in verse 6, where He says, my praise shall be continually. There's that word again. My praise shall be continually to you. Look in verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with your praise. Be filled with your praise and with your glory. How often? How often should I praise the Lord? Well, verse 6 says, I'll praise God, I'll praise you continually. Verse 8, He says, my mouth will be filled with your praise all of the day. Look down to verse 14. I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. How can you get more and more? How can you praise Him continually all of the day? And then you get down into this verse and He says, and then when I do that, I'm going to praise you yet more and more. Where does it stop? When do I reach a point when I am not praising God? Drop down to verse 22. I will praise you and your faithfulness. I will praise your faithfulness. I will praise your truth. To you I will sing praise. And then in verse 23 He says, my lips and my soul will not just rejoice when I sing to you. My lips and my soul will greatly rejoice. Look at the terminology here, that He's not just saying, I'm going to resort to you, God. Sure, I'll run to you. And He's not just saying, well, I will hope in you. And He's not just saying, I will praise you. God, to show you my trust, I will do these things continually. I'm afraid sometimes we limit in our minds, we limit our praise of God to this building right here. You say, well, I'll praise God on Sunday. This doesn't say I will praise you continually on the Sabbath. If it's David, right? Well, I'll just limit it to what happened on the Sabbath day. I will praise you continually. My mouth will not just have some of your praise in it. My mouth will be filled with your praise. And when I'm done praising you, I will not be done, because I will praise you more and more and praise you for your faithfulness. If you were going to show God how much you trust Him, could He see it by how much on a daily basis you praise Him? When you get up, when you go to work, when you go throughout your day, when you come home, when you go to bed, do you praise God? One other aspect of this psalm. In order to show God how much we trust Him, it is not limited to what I do with God directly. It's not just me running to God, resorting to God, praising God. In order to show God how much I trust Him, it also involves what I do on a daily basis with those who are around me. Go back up. Look in verse 15. I shall tell, my mouth shall tell of your righteousness. Is that you? My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation. How often? There's that expression again. I'm going to tell of your righteousness and your salvation all of the day. And then I like the end of verse 15 where it says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do it all the day because I don't know their limits. Look at the end of verse 15. God, I don't know the limit of your righteous acts. I don't know the limit of your goodness. I don't know the limit of your deeds of salvation. I don't know the sum and the measure or the limits of what you've done for me. And so since I don't know where the end of your goodness is for me, I'm never going to stop, not just praising you, I'm never going to stop telling others about you. Folks, is that us? Somehow I think we have found a limit here. Somehow I think we have limited ourselves and limited our scope on who we're going to tell about the Lord. David said, God, I trust you. I continually trust you. And to show you that, my mouth shall be filled with telling of your righteousness and your salvation because I do not know the limits. Verse 16 says, I will make mention of your righteousness and of your righteousness alone. Down in verse 17, he says, I will declare your wondrous works. Do you do that? Do you declare to others what God has done for you? In verse 18, he says, God, please don't forsake me. Here I am, I'm getting old. And in my old age, when I'm gray-headed, God, do not forsake me until. God, don't take me off of this earth until I do something. David, what do you want to do before you leave this earth? Until I declare your strength to this generation and until I declare your power to everyone who is to come. I hear a lot of talk sometimes about our concern about the next generation. You know how to fix it? Say unto God, God, do not forsake me. Don't take me from this earth until God, I declare, not somebody else, not the preacher, not the elders, until I declare your strength to this generation, until I declare your power to everyone who is to come. Folks, there doesn't need to be any limit to those we tell and how often we tell and to the depth and the breadth of who we tell. Because there's no limit to the righteousness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the salvation of God. Finally, in verse 24, he says, my tongue also shall talk of your righteousness all the day long. Look at the emphasis on this concept. I may resort, verse 3, continually. My praise shall be continually of you. I will be filled with praise all the day long. I will hope continually. I will praise yet more and more. I will tell of your salvation all the day. My lips shall greatly rejoice. Your righteousness I will talk about all the day long. We want all 16 of those things that were on the previous slide. We want God to deliver us, to rescue us, to hear us, to save us, to provide for us. We want all of those things that the God of heaven has promised to do for us. He'll do it for us if we'll show Him how much we trust Him. We can show Him how much we trust Him by relying on Him, resorting on Him, putting our every confidence in Him continually. We can show Him how much we trust Him by praising Him continually. We can show Him how much we trust Him by telling others about Him and His goodness and His wondrous works all the day. May God help us to have the heart that David had when he wrote this, to recognize that wherever we are in our life, whether we're in our youth or whether we're in our non-youth, that we might say unto God, God, I am going to trust you. I'm going to trust you continually. And I'm going to give you all that I've got until you take me from this earth. Have you given your all into the Lord? If you want to show Him how much you trust Him, then you need to obey Him. Have you done what the Bible says to do in order to be saved from your sins? You see, everything we've talked about tonight, all of these promises, these assurances, these guarantees, all 16 of those things that were on that slide of what God will do for us if we put our trust in Him, are given to those who are His children. Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says that all of these spiritual blessings are in one place, and only one place. They are in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? Have you obeyed Him? You do that by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe the evidence that is there in Scripture that shows us that God came down to this earth, He took on the form of a man, He lived a perfect life, He died on the cross for my sins and your sins? Do you believe that? That He was raised on the third day and now He's seated at the right hand of God. He's my intercessor and your intercessor as His children. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then why don't you make up your mind tonight? I'm done trusting in myself. I'm done trusting in the world. I'm done trusting in people. It's not going to get you anywhere. Put your trust in God. Make up your mind tonight. You'll turn away from wrong. That you will repent. Repent of the sins you have committed. Say, God, I don't want that life anymore. If you want to do that tonight, you can come down these aisles. Confess the faith that's in your heart, just like they did in the New Testament, and be baptized into Christ. Where are all of those spiritual blessings that we've talked about? They are all in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. How do I get into Christ? Galatians 3 and verse 27, I am baptized into Christ. All of my sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. He writes my name in the book of life. God adds me to His church. And He asked me from that day forward to walk in the light, faithfully, as He is in the light. If we can help you in any way tonight, please come as together we stand and sing.